Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Music Forum. We're your hosts, Carlos Cerubi and Joshua Bonilla.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, our guest this afternoon is a drummer, percussionist, composer, and producer. Please join us in welcoming our special guest, Mr. Bernie Pershey, to the Music Forum. This is Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena, streaming live at LancerRadioNetwork.org. How you doing
welcome.
Today, Bernie?
Welcome, Mr. Pershey. Welcome to the show.
Oh, good to be awake. Good to be anywhere. Good morning and hello, people of the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Pershey, just to give you a little background on him, he's originally from Joliet, Illinois. Minooka.
Yes, as a Minooka. Child.
Chicago town.
Yes, all of it.
Chicago
town. He was born there. He's a drummer, percussionist, composer, and producer. And you got started early. We understand it at age 8, and we were just listening to Locomotion, mm-hmm. a classic.
Mm-hmm. Classic.
Tell us a little bit about that song and why it's special to you.
Okay, the song Locomotion, I had chores on Saturday. My mother left the house. And I was sitting there, and I'm supposed to clean the living room, and the song Locomotion comes on, and I find myself just swirling around in circles. I can't understand what's happening, and I start beating my hands on the couch, and then the song ends, and I come out of the spell, and I don't know what's happening, and there's dust all over. I'm going, oh, you know, it's like the angels are going and everything. So there was something about Locomotion that was special.
The epiphany. It was that moment. It was the epiphany. Huh?
Absolutely.
Wow. I understand you got your first set of drums, you got them from a parish priest.
At the age of 8, if I'm not mistaken?
I think it was a little older than that. The age of 8 was the experience I was talking about.
Okay.
So tell us about that. It was at St. Mary's in Minooka. What, your father did some work for the church? How did that happen?
My father had fixed the furnace. He had fixed the furnace, and so he gave my dad a guitar and one small drum to me. And then slightly before that, it was just before Christmas, that the father, Ted Burst, who had his own band, and he had let me come up into where he lived and play the drums. And he said, well, man, I really think you know what you're doing. So there it was with the Christmas tree lights up and the snow coming down in the Midwest. And all of a sudden, doom, doog, doom, doog, doom. Little kids going wild. So,
oh, man. Right? Wow. So from what I know, from people that I know that live in Minnesota, that's a very much a hub for artists and musicians who come through, who are touring that Minnesota, St. Paul, and
it's a very, very advanced area, both spiritually and as far as the arts. It's very open. It's almost so open that you could get a band and put together music that would never sell and get an audience there. It's just the Minnesota University around the West Bank has a bunch of artist communities.
Right.
And just, it's also part of the time I was there, which was the early 70s. And things lag a little. So the same thing you would have with Berkeley and everything out here, maybe 66, 67, you know, the creativity, the artist thing. And when I was growing up in Illinois, I was more trying to be a tough guy. I was a little blues band. You know, the older guys are carrying guns in their guitar cases and stuff. And so that was the idea. And it was very good for me to go up there and get my mind exploded artistically.
And you had mentioned this was around the 70s?
Yes.
And this was around when you had created your first blues band. I believe it was the Blues Generation?
Yeah.
In 1967?
Yes, the Blues Generation. It was a band with my cousin, Jimmy Pershey. And it was the first time that I got stepped on to really learn the parts.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. And I'm playing in this extremely pop band in the basement. And my cousin, who's also a local hoodlum, comes down in the basement, walks up to the band. He puts his hands up. The band stops. And he looks at the guitar player and he says, it's over. Right? And he's got a hoodlum guy behind him who's the bass player in his band. And he announces to them that I am no longer their drummer.
It's over.
And now I'm the drummer in the Blues Generation.
Oh.
And that's how I joined the band.
That's how it was just here.
Right. But this is my cousin. I know, you know, since we're babies.
So you guys used to do, of course, at that time, you were doing stuff. It was classic rock, The Animals, Rolling Stones,
Cream.
And also a lot of Muddy Waters, Paul Butterfield Blues Band, you know, so it was, and playing for a lot of bikers, right? I mean, we were a pet band for a biker gang that I don't want to say the name because in California it can get
might be on the show next week.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so it was a great experience. It didn't go professional to where we put records out, but it was a wonderful experience because of the seriousness that my cousin had as far as learning the parts and performing.
And during that time period in 1968, you worked with Zippy Kaplan?
It's just 1 year later at 1969. Mickey Stanhope, who was a friend of mine mm-hmm. from Joliet, who was in the band.
A childhood friend.
Yes, and musician who I had worked with and everything. He was doing very well with a band called White Lightning.
Okay, yep. White Lightning.
Yep.
And then he was very influential to you becoming the drummer percussionist? Or?
Just being a musician. If it wasn't for Mickey Stanhope, I would not have had that easy route from just jobbing around to becoming an actual professional musician. Okay. He was an excellent singer and an excellent drummer. And when he went up just to sing, he called me up, and I went up and did the audition. And straight from a Catholic family up into a place on Lake of the Isles called the Litter House. Had a bunch of bikers. There was a famous punk band called The Litter that Zippy Kaplan ran. And so there's like a guru guy oming in this room, right? There's a biker fixing his bike in the next room, right? And then there's about six or seven rock musicians. And now all of a sudden I'm not in Catholic land anymore.
And you're sitting there and you got a set of a marimba and a xylophone.
Yes.
How does that work in a biker bar?
Well, I wasn't doing it in a biker bar, but that was just what I practiced to do your music on. I played a little parts here and there, but basically it was just the idea that the marimba is a very soothing instrument, and it's an excellent, excellent offshoot from trying to be the loudest drummer in the world.
And was this a time period where you dropped White Lightning?
Yes.
Okay.
White Lightning, and also I worked a little bit at that time with a band called Trilogy.
We actually have a cut of that, right? So we got Hideaway, don't we?
Hideaway?
Let's go ahead and hear that a little bit. 1970.
1970 Hideaway?
Yep, by White Lightning.
And once again, this is Bernie Percy, drummer, percussionist, composer, and producer. A welcome of mix of natural ability, a disarming, charismatic persona, with technical expertise, and who has a passion for drumming of any form. Welcome, Bernie Percy.
Thank you very much.
Sounds pretty good. So what was that like? Tell us about the process. How did you guys come up with this music? What was your creative process?
I had always had to study parts before that, but this was a jam band. And so a lot of stuff was written out of jams, and a lot of stuff was written out of riffs that Zippy Kaplan had done. But the band was pretty good. We had a deal with Pickwick, and we did a lot of great festivals at that time in the Midwest. We did support for Joe Cocker. We did support for Alice Cooper. Oof. And on the bigger festivals, you got to see Sly, Johnny Winter.
Oh, my God.
all these people. Ravi Shankar. It was just an amazing time for that young of a person just to see that many different good musicians and work with them.
There probably are people out there in our listening audience who understand, and I think it's important that we make this distinction, because for me, I think it's a very important distinction, mm-hmm. that Bernie is very much a studio musician, and I know that but to me, I've always had a very high regard for studio musicians or session drummers, session musicians, because what they do, most of the music that you hear on the radio, that you hear out there, is done by these people. And I guess the main difference, obviously, they're usually very proficient by nature. They're very proficient at sight reading or with their instrument. And also, because you just cannot afford to make mistakes in the studio. You're spending thousands and thousands of dollars, and you got to get it done there and right away. So you got to get the people in there that do that. And you are one of those people,
yes.
One of those musicians.
Yes, I think part of that was from just playing so many different styles of music younger. And it's just a different characterization. When you're speaking as an artist, you tend to try to come to a point where you have original ideas that you're pushing out. And when you're being a studio musician or a supporting musician, you're letting someone put that idea out. You're completely emptying the canvas of your mind from any prejudices or styles so that it can be refilled just for that time. So your musical reality starts at the beginning of that session. What you're playing is the style you love. until the end of that day. And it's like an etch-a-sketch. Then at the end of that session, you just shake the etch-a-sketch, and you're not that anymore. Right.
Well, yeah. So that's how you started working at Sound 80 Studios.
Yes.
I think Herb Pilhoffer had called me in for a while because he recorded the White Lightning album.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Well, so what were you doing? Were you recording that album, or what were you doing at Sound 80 Studios?
Yeah. Well, we did the record with White Lightning. Then he called me back. I know we did like a Sandler and Young, the French singers, sold millions a long time ago. Jingles, you know, you're in luck when you buy a Muckaluck chain. just anything like that. I did a Land O'Lakes butter commercial, and my mother bought Land O'Lakes butter till she died. Right, just all of that stuff.
There you go.
Everything you would expect, or a small album project that they were doing. Folks will come up to me and say that they really appreciated how I played on their record, and sometimes you don't remember because it was just a session where you went in there and it was produced with the basic tracks.
Right.
There's no singing. You're just looking at the music. And doing it.
Mm-hmm, basically.
And later on, they can say, you really brought my song to life, and you feel real good about it. But
And again, a lot of, in most cases, you might not even receive credit for the recording. I mean, it's so hard, it's so difficult because you go in there and you guys are tasked with record this music.
Yes.
And a lot of times, and I don't want our audience to get the wrong impression. There's a lot of great musicians, but sometimes they choose to have other musicians as yourself come in and record for various reasons. You know, either it's, they may not be as proficient, and so it's more cost effective to just have somebody go in there and do it in one take as opposed to 77 takes or something like that.
Well, actually, it usually comes from the producer's point of the view. The producer has a set of musicians that he can cooperate and fulfill what he has because he's under pressure financially, et cetera, et cetera. He only has so much money to get the desired artistic result, and he'll often have a stable of musicians that he counts on to get his work done and bring everything in creatively and under budget.
So,
So give me one second, guys. So welcome back to the Music Forum. Our special guest this afternoon is none other than the incredibly talented drummer and percussionist, Bernie Pershey. He's here with us live in Lancer Radio Network Studio. This is Lancer Radio Network Pasadena, streaming live at lancerradio.org.
Okay.
Great. I got bumper.
Is what you want to hear.
It's 15 seconds. Did you know that Pasadena City College offers college classes for free? To find out more information about PCC's non-credit division and the schedule of the free PCC classes, call 626-585-3000. Did you know that Pasadena City College offers college classes for free? To find out more information about PCC's non-credit division and a schedule of free PCC classes, call 626-585-3000. PCC's First Pathways program provides students guaranteed full schedules, including difficult-to-get English and math courses in the fall and spring semesters of their first year at college. Pathways provides students with the critical support they need outside of the classroom so that they can complete their academic goals in a timely manner. For more information about PCC Pathways program, visit pasadena.edu/pathways.
Everybody and say again, again, again.
Welcome back to the Music Forum. We're your hosts, Joshua Bonilla and Carlos Uribe. He has recorded and toured with some of the best and brightest musicians in the music industry. Master drummer, percussionist, composer, and producer, Bernie Pershey is here with us live in the studio. This is Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena, streaming live at LancerRadioNetwork.org.
Yep.
Hello, Bernie Pershey.
All right.
And we were just listening to that was by Trilogy. It was a Red Wine. 1970.
Yes, that was a very good band of fellas from Joliet, Illinois that I got to record that record with, and they did very well. A lot of singing.
Oh, yeah, man. So before we went on break, we were talking about the Sound 80 Studios. And while you were there, you met two gentlemen, Greg Inhofer and Robin Lee.
Yes, they were two fellows that were playing around. I had known them before then, but that's when we got a chance to work together and start reforming a band called Gold Street, which turned into This Oneness, and which also became the backing band for Olivia Newton-John. Absolutely. A wonderful entertainer that we all love.
How was that? And for those, you know, just to, of course, to give you our listening audience a little background on Olivia, she's of course, English-born Australian singer, actress. Now, of course, this is now. This was at the time she was fairly, you know, still working her way. But it was she's a four-time Grammy Award winner. She sold over 100 million records.
She's one of the world's best-selling artists of all time. Yeah. And also, would you like to let them about Greece?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and her song, I Honestly Love You. I don't know if we have that cued yet, but if we do, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great. Well, getting back to that, we're talking about your time there at Sound 80 Studios. So you're working together with these gentlemen, and you also in that band was Dale Strength.
Yes.
Doug Nielsen.
Right.
And so you guys were a backing band. What type of stuff were you doing for her, and how was it being on the road with her?
Well, at that time, she was a country artist. It was great being with her. And she is a very tough person. People know her only as super famous right now. But at that time, she was getting killed by the country press for not being traditional enough and the big city press for being an Okie. Right?
Oh,
and at
man.
The same time, she just does her show every night, and she was very strong, very consistent, a wonderful person, and we got the chance to work with some tremendous country bands and to find out how really good country musicians can be. But there was some prejudice, right?
Oh,
because
wow.
Sometimes they wouldn't talk to you. We had a gentleman in the band, Dale Strength, who's Ernest Tubbs' godson.
Uh-oh.
Now, that's country royalty.
Right.
Sometimes you'd be backstage and it'd be like, who are them damn hippies, right?
Really?
And then all of a sudden, one country musician would come over and go, hey, y'all Texas Bill Strength's boy, right? And then it'll be down. We saw how good the players were in Porter Wagner and Tammy Wynette's band, Charlie Rich's band, you know, Jerry Reed, and we got to work with some great musicians. But mostly watching Olivia go from the point where she was just bucking it and bucking the wind a little bit to going to be Country Artist of the Year and watch her perform under duress or just with happiness. She just really controlled herself at all times. I can't stop saying enough nice things about her as a person and the courage that it took to really do what she did at that age.
So you were working with her, and then obviously that band later morphed into the band, the fusion band Oneness.
Yes, and that was, we were doing both at the same time. Olivia didn't take all year round, and we began writing more and more music and being more interested in trying to pursue that.
Wow.
And so finally we went off and we played shows in the upper Midwest, a little touring, and that was a tremendous band of great musicians.
So how many records did you put out, several albums? Or
we put out only one record that came out, but there's a whole bunch of music that still is not released. And I think we have 300 minutes of recorded music that we never released. So that band was writing every day. 10 hours rehearsals, that was the band that hit it hard.
Well, we actually have one of your tracks. It's called Amalgamated Funk. And we'll maybe go ahead and throw that on, see if we can hear that.
Mm.
So that is Amalgamated Funk by Oneness. And I think that just, you know, that song I was listening to the other day, and it's just so, there's so much, like, I mean, that there is just so much fusion there. You go from this very, 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 spacey.
Yes.
Style to just as jazz, just real yep. intense, you know. Tell us about, how was that? How was it that working on that album? I mean, how, you know?
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work and some good musicians. And that was probably reflective of the creativity of the Minneapolis scene at the time. Right. And that was band would be playing some rock clubs and some jazz clubs. And there was a little bit of prejudice back and forth. And so when you split the middle, sometimes you could get in trouble on both ends. But basically, it's just to honor the guys that created that music. And I'm still in touch with all of them. And I still work some of the time with Dale and Greg on little projects around there. Dale uses me as a drummer on some stuff he produces, and I've had a good luck to use Greg on a thing or two I've produced. And hopefully we'll play again more seriously someday. They're tremendous musicians.
Well, you guys were obviously, you were morphing all the time, your band, and from Oneness you actually morphed into another band called Brainiac.
Yes, Brainiac. That turned into a trio where Greg actually sang, played keyboards and keyboard bass, and that was just more of a hard rock band on the Upper Midwest ballroom circuit that had some good success. It was a lot of fun. Really good players.
You know, there was a really interesting story you were talking about. I know this is okay. Keep in mind, this is 1979. You're in Minneapolis, Minnesota, correct?
Yes.
And someone comes to town.
Oh, yeah. We got a call. There was a big nightclub called Thumpers we used to work at, and we got a chance to be support for Mr. Chuck Berry.
Oh, wow. Jesus.
And that was really a lot of fun. Sitting there getting a chance to play just that one night, those tunes with Chuck Berry. Johnny B. Good with Mr. Johnny B. Good. And he played blues like I couldn't believe. I never appreciated what a good blues musician he was, but the blues that night was almost the most beautiful of all the music.
And then I just wanted to mention Chuck Berry. He's an American guitarist, singer, songwriter, and one of the best, one of the pioneers of rock and roll music.
Absolutely.
Johnny B. Good.
Oh, Maybelline.
Rock and roll over Beethoven.
That's just for our audience.
Of course, he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Oh, jeez.
Wow.
what an amazing opportunity.
Experience. Like,
absolutely.
And that was a one night, one shot.
One shot, there you are, and then there it goes. It was a lot of fun, but it was
that
fun.
That is a hell of a resume thing there right there.
Yeah.
So about 1983, you join up with Dwight Twilley.
Yes, that was a lot of fun, and I'd come out here just stone cold. I'm going to L.A., right? Came out and... had a buddy put me up for a little while, and then just started at the bottom, did a few jobs around, you know, a little lion that I can paint an apartment, a little lion I can wash dishes, and then finally got a buddy of mine to get me an audition, and I got the job with Dwight Twilley. The first work was after the tour of his tune Girls, I believe 83, 84, and it was a top 20 hit, and that was a lot of fun. A very fun tour with great musicians. Jude Cole, who also became an original artist, was in the band, and then a bunch of fellas from Detroit were later in the band, and Bobby G. and Eddie, who I'm still working with now in the Mustang Brothers, was in that band. And it was really a lot of hard work, a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, you know, we have one of the songs from the album The Luck.
Yes.
And you actually, this was one of the albums you played the drums for, mm-hmm. and it's entitled Holding On. And when we have that, we're going to be playing that. So how was it? Were you on tour often? Did you do a lot of touring with him?
With him, yes. When you have a tune on the radio, you go out and you just tour constantly until it falls off because they're trying to keep the sales going. So it was a hectic touring schedule after that. And then, of course, he had enough of a reputation from his tune I'm on Fire from earlier that you could still continue touring. It was a lot of fun, and he included us a lot in some of his recording projects, not all of them, but we got to do a lot of recording with him out at American Recording with the producer Richie Podler, who he recorded Born to Be Wild on a four-track. That's how far back he goes.
Wow. Yeah.
Born to Be Wild on a four-track.
In a garage.
Well, we got Holding On from the album The Luck. Let's go ahead and take a look at that. Well, that is Holding On from The Luck, and that was it was recorded in 1989. And, you know, we're going to be going on a break pretty shortly here, but we just kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that. I know that there were some issues releasing that album, and it wasn't released until 2001. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Wow. So we're going to get into that. We're going to be going to a break right now in a little bit, but... we're going to talk a little bit about that. And again, as you mentioned, you know, sometimes there's problems. And
we will be getting right back to that.
That's right.
To our
Thank you for joining us this afternoon on the Music Forum. We're your hosts, Carlos Uribe and Josh Bonilla. We spent the first half hour of our show talking with an incredibly talented session drummer / percussionist who has produced, recorded, and toured with some of the greatest musicians from rock and roll, blues, and classic rock eras. His technical skill and soulful drumming has earned him both the respect and admiration of his fellow musician and fans all around the world. He's a gentleman, a scholar, and an all-around great guy. Chicago Town's own Bernie Percy is here with us live in our Lancer Radio Network studios. Here's one interview you do not want to miss. Be sure to stay tuned to the Music Forum for the second half of our show with our esteemed guest, Mr. Bernie Percy. You are listening to Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena Campus Sounds, streaming live 24/7 from the campus of Pasadena City College, LancerRadio.org.
PCC Veteran Services strongly encourage all veterans to join the PCC Veterans Club. Statistics show that students who assimilate to campus life by developing associations with like-minded students have a higher degree of success. The PCC Veterans Resource Center offers benefits information, referrals, free tutoring, mentoring programs, and more. Join the PCC Veterans Club at any time in the Veterans Resource Center in Building W, Room 108. But hello, Lancer staff and faculty. Thanks to your suggestions, the PCC Pulse got a new facelift. So be sure to check out the Pulse every Monday morning for new campus headlines and community updates. Simply log on to thepulse.pasadena.edu/pasadena.edu.
You to give a gift to somebody, but it's not a gift you buy. We want you to give a gift, but not necessarily to someone you know. Some of you will be happy to do it. Some of you might be hesitant. But the person who receives your gift will consider it so precious, they'll carry it with them for the rest of their life. This gift is blood. And every day in America, thousands of people desperately need it. Every day we wonder if there will be enough for them. Some days, we barely make it. To those of you who give blood regularly, the American Red Cross and the many people whose lives you've saved would like to thank you. Those of you who haven't given recently, please help us again. There's a life to be saved right now. To find out how convenient it is to give blood, call the American Red Cross today at 1-800-GIVE-LIFE. That's 1-800-GIVE-LIFE. This public service message has been brought to you by this station, the Advertising Council, and the American Red Cross.
In the 21st century, a woman shouldn't have to risk death to give birth. Yet, in many developing countries, women die every day in childbirth or from complications during pregnancy. For many of these women, access to a $1 birthing kit can mean the difference between life and death. In the 21st century, everyone should know how to prevent the spread of HIV. Yet, something as basic as a 3-cent condom is often unavailable. The United Nations Population Fund works in over 140 countries, making motherhood safer, information more available, and reproductive health care more accessible. Population Action International supports the work being done by UNFPA and hopes that you will do the same. To learn more, contact us on the web at populationaction.org. That's www.populationaction.org.
Welcome back to the Music Forum. We're your hosts, Joshua Bonilla and Carlos Uribe. Joining us today is a drummer, percussionist, composer, and producer. He's traveled the world over, performing and recording with many of the music industry's best and brightest artists. Mr. Bernie Pershey is joining us here live on the Music Forum. This is Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena, streaming live at LancerRadioNetwork.org.
Hey, welcome back, Bernie.
Absolutely. People, hello!
This guy, he's a monster here, man. You know, before we went on break, we were talking about your work with Dwight Twilley, you know, in between 83 and 1988, you were working on him, and they were playing Holding On from the Luck. And, you know, what we were mentioned was that album was actually recorded in 1989, and it wasn't actually released until 2001. That's got to be like, what, almost 20 years
ancient,
or so?
Vintage.
Yes,
almost.
That's ancient.
Wow.
That's really stretching it, but you'd be surprised that that happens more often than you would think.
Expect. What happened? Can you tell us what happens? What causes that kind of thing to happen?
When you get a large studio project, there's a certain amount of investment of money or time involved. And so it becomes a commodity. And the people who make the records work very hard and they're very creative, but they put their hours in, and you get into a situation where if they aren't paid the full money, you know, for the engineers, for the lights staying on in the studio, that material can't come out. And so there's great material all the time from many of your favorite bands, I would assume, that just has to sit there until it comes out. And that was one of the situations here. And it doesn't mean that the people are mean. It's just the nature of the business. Mm-hmm. And so that hung that one up for a long time. And that was with a tremendous production team of Richie Podler and Bill Cooper out at American Recording in Topanga Canyon.
Wow.
And it just held it up for all that time.
Well, so in you know, you're doing that, and you're just jumping from band to band. 1988, you joined the Edgar Winter Band.
Yes, that was tremendous.
We get into this, I wanted to mention Edgar Winter, American rock and blues musician, keyboard, guitar, saxophonist, percussionist, and vocalist. That's Edgar Winter, and of course,
that's just an amazing gentleman. Free Ride,
yes,
Frankenstein.
I mean, who doesn't know Free Ride? That was our winter, our summertime party song right there.
Oh, yeah, all of his work, back to White Trash, all the stuff working with his brother Rick Derringer, all that. And I was honored, of course, to be able to do a re-recording, not the original, but of the song Frankenstein with him.
Well, you know what? We have a copy. Let's go ahead and if we can, let's run that.
We'll run
Frankenstein.
We'll get Frankenstein up and running in a second. But how is that? Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, here we go. On the boat, on the river.
Yep.
Boy, that's the Edgar one. Wow, Frankenstein. Tell us about that. How is it working with a guy like that?
Oh, he's tremendous. Edgar is a genius, and he's got the finest ear you could imagine. He would point out something that I was doing wrong, and I would listen six times, and I would think, Edgar's messing with me, right? And then I'd listen a seventh time, and exactly what he said. would be exposed to my ears. He's got the finest ear of anyone I've ever been around. And on that date, the band didn't quite have the groove he wanted for a couple of minutes, and he comes up to me and he goes, "Bernie, can you play this to a click track?" And I said, "Yes, Edgar, I can play it to a click track." And he said, "Okay." But I didn't know he was sending me out there without the band.
Oh, wow.
Right? So all of a sudden, I'm sitting out there. The click comes on. There's no band, and there's a little white light over Edgar's head, and he's just sitting there looking at me. You know, and I had to lower the blood pressure internally just for a minute. But there's nothing about working with Edgar that's not wonderful.
Just a showman.
Just a showman, an excellent performer, a wonderful composer, a nice human being, and just an ear from outer space. There's nothing that guy can't do.
he's
a national treasure, honest to God.
Yeah, he's absolutely just classic music. Wow. In 1992, you joined Walter Trout brand. And Walter Trout, of course, an American blues guitarist, singer, songwriter. He's worked with John Lee Hooker. He's real big in the Netherlands. I understand he does quite a bit of work over there.
He had a top 10 hit in the Netherlands. Actually, what happened with Walter is he was in the John Mayall band, and John Mayall was sick one night, and they asked Walter to step up and sing the show, and he did so good that they offered him a small record deal on a large label, which fell apart and led to another record deal, which he got a tour from, and he got a top 10 hit in the Netherlands, which started his touring career, and he toured steady since then. He's one of the hardest touring guys you'll find anywhere, and one of the main attractions when I first joined him before the musical brotherhood that we had later was how much he worked in Europe, and I got to go all over Europe, Australia. He's great.
You guys recorded nine albums with him.
Yes.
Nine albums.
Right. Now, some live and some studio, but just all the time.
Stop me when I'm wrong here. 1992, Transition, No More Fish Jokes. 1994, Telling Stories. 1995, Breaking the Rules. And what about Walter Trout and the Free Radicals?
Oh, that was just the name that he used. Walter changed the name a couple times while we were with him, but it was always the same set of musicians. Musicians would come in and out, but, I mean, it was always his business. A hard touring fellow has more raw feel than anybody I've ever worked with, completely honest, and another just gentleman to work with.
Well, we actually have a track from his Go the Distance album, and that was from 1995, Breaking the Rules. Yeah, there we go, and let's take a look at that.
Breaking Rules, Lady Luck.
Lady Luck.
I was curious, when you joined Walter Trout's band, did you join his worldwide tour? And is that when you were able to record those nine albums with him?
Yeah.
The worldwide tour?
Right. I just went straight on a tour of Europe and then straight into the record. He just tours. He's on a one-year cycle for recording, which some blues artists are. Mm-hmm. So you just tour all year, and then you have to be ready to do a record short and get right out there. Excuse me.
We're having a meltdown in the studio.
Fault.
We're
but
going
anyway,
down.
Anyway, working with Walter is really good. And if you think you're a high-energy guy that can kick everybody's ass, you should just get in Walter Trout's band, and you'll find out that he's got more energy than anybody you know.
That guitar was screaming.
Uh-huh.
That was screaming. Wow, is that how intense it is?
That's all it is, night after night. And just he plays really hard all the time. And when we weren't on the road, we had a local gig 4 nights, and so it was just, you had to be ready to jam a long time.
I just wanted to mention one more time, Walter Trout was an American blues guitarist, singer, and songwriter, and he's worked with John Lee. if I'm not mistaken. Yes. So that's just
Big Mama Thornton. Mm-hmm. But his main rock was with he was with Canned Heat for 5 years, and he was with John Mayall. Okay. And then he got his solo career started with a European record deal right off of John Mayall.
So that's for the audience out there, just to get a little music history for y'all.
Yeah.
those are just.
And he's like 25 records in 25 years, and mm-hmm. he's out there right now doing very well, very yeah. well.
Well, you know, and I thought that we didn't mention in 1993. You and I remember this film quite well. It was the Tina Turner biopic. What's Love Got to Do with It?
Yes.
You actually did some you did some recording on that album, or what?
The song Frankenstein was in that record.
That's
so
right.
That's what that credit was.
And that's just, man, you're just going. You're constantly going, overlapping, working with different bands, and I think that's kind of typical of a studio musician. You're always very busy, especially if you're good.
quite a bit. It was never my intent to run it that way. That's just how things happen. You take the success that comes to you because that's a blessing. You know what I mean? Everyone would hope that they would get in one band and just be in one successful band that creates art for their whole life. But if it doesn't work out that way, you just take the blessings as they come. And I was lucky enough to do a lot of touring. So I suppose in the end you'd say I would be one of those touring road dogs that maybe didn't have all the success of some people, mm-hmm. but man, just out there year after
Being
year after year,
there.
And seeing the other people that you get to see, the experiences of the other people that are on the road, and it's almost more valuable than the money you make.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Well, you know, we wanted to. This is something. Obviously, this gentleman has always been a favorite, and we're going to be going on break very shortly here. But we just kind of wanted to introduce the in 2001 through 2005, you worked with Eric Burdon.
Eric Burdon, one of
from
my
the
favorite.
Let us know about him. Tell us about him.
I was just surprised. Like when I was researching and saw Eric Burdon, and I'm just mind blown right now. I'm kind of like starstruck. So we'll get right back into that topic right now. But our guest this afternoon is a session drummer and percussionist. He has recorded with some of the music industry's top rock and roll and R&B musicians. Bernie Pershey is live with us here at Lancer Radio Network Studios. Don't touch that mouse pad. This is Lancer Radio Network, streaming live at LancerRadioNetwork.org. Thanks for having us. PCC Veteran Services strongly encourage all veterans to join the PCC Veterans Club. Statistics show that students who assimilate to campus life by developing associations with like-minded students have a higher degree of success. The PCC Veterans Resource Center offers benefits information, referrals, free tutoring, mentoring programs, and more. Join the PCC Veterans Club anytime in the Veterans Resource Building in W Room 108. PCC's first-year pathway program provides students guaranteed full schedules, including difficult-to-get English and math courses, in the fall and spring semester of their first year at college. Pathways provides students with the critical support they need outside the classroom so they can complete their academic goals in a timely manner. For more information about PCC Pathways program, visit www.pasadena.edu/pathways.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Sony.
I'm Dean.
And I'm Darius of Hootie the Blowfish for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving.
It's this simple. When we go out, we follow one rule, never drink and drive.
That's why we always choose a designated driver. After all, we're not just a band, we're friends.
So if one of your friends has been drinking, get the keys, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A message from the Department of Transportation, Ad Council, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Hey, this is Shaquille O'Neal for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. You may know Shaq the rap artist, you may even know Shaq the movie star, but there's one Shaq you'll never see, and that's Shaq the drunk driver. That's because I know drinking and driving don't mix. So if you drink, don't drive. And if one of your friends has been drinking, get the keys, because friends don't let friends drive drunk. I like the way it's going down.
A message from the Department of Transportation, Ad Council, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. For many women in developing countries, the first step to a better quality of life is access to family planning. Giving a woman the power to determine the number and timing of her children sets her and her family on a journey towards increased opportunity and better health. Voluntary family planning saves lives by reducing maternal and infant mortality rates. Family planning improves lives through fewer unwanted pregnancies, fewer abortions, healthier women, and healthier children. Population Action International is committed to helping women worldwide take those first steps toward a better life. Woman by woman, family by family. To learn more about Population Action International, visit our website at populationaction.org. Family planning for people, for the planet.
Here's another new song from my new CD. It's called Over the Border.
Welcome back to the Music Forum. We're your hosts, Josh Bonilla and Carlos Uribe. He has traveled the world over, performing with some of the music industry's top R&B, rock and roll legends. Drummer and percussionist Bernie Percy is here live with us on the Music Forum. This is Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena, streaming live at LancerRadioNetwork.org. Bernie Percy, don't leave us yet. Don't leave, because we.
No. He's not going nowhere. We were talking about you about 2001. You started working with Eric Burdon, and of course, our listening audience, you know, just a background, you guys are going to know right away. But Eric Burdon from the Animals, of course, the most famous song, "The House of the Rising Sun." Don't let favorites. Me be misunderstood. Please. We got to get out of this place. He performed with War. I mean, Eric Burdon was with numerous groups, and he would always change his names. Obviously, we're going to get into a story about that in a bit. But you were working with that band 2001 and through 2005, and it was your touring members were people that you actually worked before, including Dean Restrum, Dave Meros. Of Spock's Beard and Martin Gershwitz?
Yes, I'd worked with Martin in the Walter Trout Band, and I'd known Dean from some sessions.
Oh, and wow. And you guys, we were just listening to a song from one of those albums that you're Over the Border.
Yes.
Wow. What was it like? I mean,
well, I'd always loved the Animals since we were young. They'd played we played their music from the blues generation, and we mixed it with Chicago blues and stuff. Eric is one of the more individual people you'll ever see in your life.
Oh, wow.
And he is like one of the original, created on the spot, recreated, break up the band, get new guys, another band. He's had two different Animals. He's had a band with Jimmy Witherspoon, a blues band. He started the band War, and he's done some different things, and he's quite a precocious individual. And wow. there's two things I'd like to tell you about working with Eric. And the first was getting the job. The drummer that was there before me was the tremendous studio and live drummer, Ainsley Dunbar, Class A guy. So that would make you nervous about trying to get them when he left the band.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a chance to work with them, and I had told them that I was interested in the job if it was a permanent job.
I left
Walter Trout for that. And I got out on the road, and it turned out they had not fired their other drummer. And so,
oh, really? So they had not fired the drummer yet.
Right. So I'm sitting there thinking that I'd left a permanent job with my best friend, who's tremendous, just to go out. And I'm thinking the egg's going to be all over my face, though. The drum solo's getting longer and longer every night. You know, everything's getting really, and it was really worrisome. But finally, at the seventh week, and it turned out that he was just such good friends with the other drummer that he was afraid to tell him so. But that will make you crazy. But Eric's just one of those guys. Can I tell you a story about Eric?
Oh, yes, you better.
Okay, so this is Eric. We're warming up, I think, Creedence Clearwater Revisited or something like that. So we have to play a short set beginning. And so the promoter and the tour manager come up to Eric and say, Eric, you got to play only 40 minutes, and we need you to do the hits. And so we go ahead and we get ready to do the show, and there's no Eric there because he's been given too much advice that day, right? And so he walks in 3 minutes after the show starts, and this is just a technical thing. If you run over on a union show, everybody gets paid double, so the promoter's just going crazy. Okay, Eric, get on stage.
He goes, no,
I got to go to my dressing room and get ready. Oh, you know, so he's screaming. The tour manager's doing it. Everybody's going crazy. Yeah. And then he comes out, and then the promoter says, okay, just the hits, Eric, right? Eric walks straight out on stage, and he says, yeah, you know those...
said that I gotta play all the hits tonight, you know, but all I'm gonna do is jam some blues. And everybody stands up and screams. And so he just does about 7 blues numbers. He's going from one song to another, just acting crazy, and ends up just does House of the Rising Sun at the end and walks off stage. Everybody's standing on their feet screaming, and he's walking past the tour manager and the promoter, just, and he doesn't shoot him the bird, but everything about that's going on is that.
Right.
I mean, you don't know who's there. There's like old gangster friends from Northern England, Afghan businessmen, old German communists. I mean, he's so, because he was such good friends with Hendrix, Janis Joplin, all those guys. So he's like, it's like an adventure being around him.
So besides working with Eric Burdman, in 2002 to 2005, you worked with played with Beth Hart.
I did one tour with Beth Hart and a bunch of local shows and one record. I played on her record "Leave the Light On," I believe.
And I just wanted to inform our audience out there: Beth Hart is a singer songwriter and has a hit song in 1999, which is the LA song.
Yes,
And that's from her second album.
We have a track from that "Leave the Light On." Do we got that ready to rock? Let's.
I stole the outside, running into the sun. I'm alive.
Well, that was just a short clip that we had.
Yeah, very short, very sweet.
If you guys want to check that out, I mean, we could always go ahead and look it up. But
anyway, Beth is a tremendous performer. If you ever get a chance to hear her music or go see her live, you won't be disappointed. Beth Hart, yes.
How was that? How was that working on the album, on those tracks?
It was fun. It was fun, a little bit serious. I'd worked a lot with the guitar player, John Nichols, before that, so it was pretty comfortable. She's a very intense performer, and nothing is decided till the last minute, because sometimes Beth changes her mind. Mm-hmm. Wow. But she's tremendous.
So she was nominated for a Grammy for the Seesaw, right? The Seesaw album?
I believe so, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, season.
So, more recent, you've been working with a gentleman, Eric Sardinas.
Yes, I was on the road for 3 years with Eric, who's a buddy of mine from years ago, because he was a Walter Trout fan when he was just a little guy. And that's all slide guitar trio.
This guy's intense, man. I was watching a couple of his shows, and he likes to burn his guitar, man.
Yeah,
I hear. Is that true?
Oh yeah, he'll do. He's one of those guys. He'll go crazy.
I bet you his guitar tech just loves that, man.
He's putting stuff together, and he plays only dobro, right? So you don't just get dobro parts anywhere, right? So they're mailing stuff all over the world to keep his guitars going.
Well, we have I think we have one of the tracks, one of his tracks, and you were actually, this was one of your shows, Get Down to Whiskey. Mm-hmm. And so we can cue that up. Maybe we can take a look. So how is it working with him? Like, how is he on the road? And
he's a high energy performer, gives it all every night. I'm not the drummer on his records though, so I'm not the player on Get Down to Whiskey. That's right, I didn't. But workaholic, and I got to work a lot in Eastern Europe with him, and Spain and Italy, which I hadn't been to before, extensively, and it was fun.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is, and when you were on the Athens traffic live, how was that? That was a 2004, correct?
Yes, that was fun. That was a lot of fun. Dean Restum, who I work with in some other bands, did produce that record, and it was just a CD made from live shows, and it was a lot of fun. Touring with Eric was always fun, an adventure.
Well, you know, let's listen to one of the tracks he's got there.
Your mind about a thing or two. Here's something you should know now. Chase away your blues. One place to go and only one thing to do. Get down to whiskey. When there's trouble all around, down to whiskey.
Just leave it all up to whiskey, baby. Let them wash them troubles down. Yeah, you can't take no more.
So that was Eric Sardinas, and of course, let's get down to whiskey. Gosh, man. So right now you're working with a group, and but we're gonna have to bring you back. We got to bring you back so we can talk about more, because you got so much stuff going on. It's been awesome.
One thing I want to mention is working with the Mustang Brothers, an R&B cover band.
Absolutely,
with the guitarist from the Animals, Dean. But here we go.
We're your hosts, Carlos Uribe and Josh Bonilla. We'd like to thank our listening audience for joining us this afternoon on the Music Forum. We've just spent the last hour speaking with a session drummer, percussionist, composer, and music producer. During his formative years, he was educated at the School of Classic Rock, Rhythm and Blues, and Good Old Rock and Roll. His baptism by fire occurred during a performance alongside a rock and roll legend himself, Mr. Chuck Berry. The die was cast, and his destiny as a rhythmical genius was ordained. He has toured extensively with the likes of music legends such as Olivia Newton-John, Edgar Winter, Eric Burdon, and Walter Trout, bringing to the palette his soulful and unique style of drumming. His session work with Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter Beth Hart and his 2008 world tour with blues rock guitarist Eric Sardinas is a testament to the relevance of his art and talent, as seen by a newer generation of musical prodigies. We're speaking of the musical genius of Bernie Percy. Be sure to join us each and every Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. here on the Music Forum. You're listening to the Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena Campus Sound, streaming live 24/7 from the campus of Pasadena City College, lancerradio.org.
All right, and I'd like to say peace and love to everybody, and thanks to my greatest blessing, my wife, Vera Perez, and my daughter, Teresa Percy. Thank you very much.
No problem, and don't forget to follow us on facebook.com/Lancer Radio, twitter.com/PCC Lancer Radio, Instagram.com/Lancer Radio, and that is us, www.LancerRadioNetwork.org.
It's been a great pleasure. Bernie Percy, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you,
everyone. Have
a wonderful weekend, everyone.
Get your parking permit for the spring semester now. No need to wait in long lines. Go to www.pasadena.edu and click on Student Services to get it done. No wait, no worry. Students are strongly encouraged to purchase parking permits online. Go ahead, check another thing off your list before school starts again. Student parking is $64 per semester. Go to pasadena.edu/student services now.